Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Thank you. And welcome to K3 Business Technology presentation. Today it's myself and Rob Price who are presenting the business, and we've been with the business now for 2.5 years been taking the company on a journey. And I'm going to talk you through both what we do and also the plans for the future. So in terms of just quick overview of what K3BTG is, Business Technology Group, we have around 90 million revenues this year, a fantastic customer base, 3,700 customers, channel partners that sell our intellectual property, our products, and around 700 employees. So in terms of sort of quick sound bites around what the business does, we are well established. We've been around for many years, and we provide mission critical solutions to our customers. And our customers are in the supply chain sector, so manufacturers, distributors, and retailers. Close to 50% of our revenues is recurring. That means contracted recurring revenues. And we also have quite high level of visible revenues in terms of services provided to the base. Like I mentioned in the beginning, we've gone through a major reorganization of the business, unifying it and joining it up. K3 has grown through acquisitions in the past. And what we, Rob and I, have been doing over the last couple of years is really unifying and making sure that we're getting the benefits out of being one business. And in addition to that, focusing on developing our own intellectual property, own products that we sell into the base and into new customers. And this is really the growth piece of the business. And our vision is this: innovate every day for business, better business future for ourselves and for our customers and our partners. So that's a quick overview. In terms of how the business works, our customers, they make things, they move it, and they sell it, and we help them do that. So in terms of the business challenges that our customers face, whether that's production planning, replenishment calculations, multi-site pricing, omni-channel pricing, all the issues that they face in their day-to-day business, we help them manage that. So we provide software, both our own and also third-party ERP systems and other applications. We provide the hosting and the managed service around it to run it. And we provide the services and professional consultancy to help implement and manage the software applications. And in terms of the revenue stream, so it starts with installation. So we install and deploy systems. We then manage that. That means sort of keeping the lights on, making sure it's running. And then we provide support. We can provide 24/7 support for those applications. And then we maintain them, keep them current, add new features, and then provide upgrades back into the base. So in terms of the revenue streams, we have hardware and software sales on implementation and professional services revenues. And then the recurring revenues that I mentioned before, the 50%, that is support revenues, maintenance, and managed services. So that's in a nutshell the business model. Like I mentioned, over the last couple of years, we've gone through a transformation. When we joined, we reviewed the whole strategy of the group, both in terms of where we're going and also how we're gonna, what growth areas are the key ones for us, and put a lot of focus on cash generation and cost control. In terms of the strategy reset that we went through then is fundamentally streamlined the business, took out a lot of overheads and duplication, integrated the group as one business, created the IP roadmap, the intellectual property, the product roadmap, very strong product offerings that we're now focusing on and have unified across the business, and redefined how we go to market with the product. And like I said, this is all coming through from several acquisitions, and now what we've done is brought that all together in one unified motion. Those actions have obviously taken out a lot of cost, around 5 million annualized of cost that we've removed in terms of streamlining the business. We've also started investing in specific growth areas. We have a new sales strategy and we've unified all the sales motion around the business and have an IP strategy that is modern and future-proof. And I'll come back to what that means for us. And then what we're seeing now in the results, our year end is November, and we've just come out of the results for last year, and we're seeing the fruits of that that work coming through. In terms of sales strategy, where we are and how we go to market, first of all, in the UK, we have a really strong team, close to 500 people, that are supporting our 2,000 strong customer base. We provide everything from the ERP systems, the accounting systems, the business management tools, our own products on top of that. We can support, we can manage, and we can basically, if you're a customer in the supply chain, we can provide you with all your IT requirements. So that's, as I say, the biggest part of the team and the largest customer base. What we then have is a division of what we call global accounts, and this is very much based around with the work we've been doing with the IKEA ecosystem. So we provide support and implementation services in 22 countries. So we basically write the core application for the IKEA Blue Box stores, and then we implement that for all IKEA franchisees. So we develop the solution for IKEA, and then we do the development, the deployment straight with the franchisees in the different countries. Very highly skilled team of people in complex rollouts, governance around upgrades and management of localizations. So that is a team of close to 100 people that really just focused on that piece of the business. Long-term commitments, highly visible, and a very very big growth area for us. In Europe, we are focusing on standardized solution, off-the-shelf solutions. So we call it retail in a box. We can basically ship the kit without having any consultancy or services attached to it. It's really a simple implementation. And this is where we're focusing on scaling, because we have the business model, we have the infrastructure. This is really focusing now on selling and driving sales growth. And then we have our channel partners. 700 customers through channel partners, and this is where we have developed products and IP, and they then bring that to market and do the services and the support around that for customers. And just to sort of name a few customers in those different motions, we're doing a large implementation now for the British Heart Foundation in the UK, rolling out 700 stores, the whole ERP solution for them. We have a number of great brands in Europe that are using our standard off-the-shelf retail solutions. We have IKEA and the retailers. Dairy Farm is one of them, where we are providing those complex rollouts. And then we have our partners. So our partners are Microsoft, Avanade, Sonata, and other system integrators. And we have some great brands there where we've provided the IP, the product, but our partners provide the services around it. So last year we closed Columbia Sports, and that is an implementation done by Microsoft Consulting Services, but we provide the specific IP around the fashion element. So in terms of the IP landscape, so our products, when Rob and I joined, we had a really, complex IP roadmap and disjointed, because it was coming out of the different units that had been acquired. We now focus the roadmap onto a few products. These that I mentioned here, those are ones that are specifically developed for certain ERP platforms. So for example, K3 Fashion is developed for Dynamics, Microsoft Dynamics, which is specifically aimed at enterprise companies. So this is how we've historically done IP development, the product development. We developed things that are specific. Where we're going now is we're moving into an ERP agnostic way and cloud native motion. So we have, last year we launched the Imagine platform, and this is a proper cloud native platform where we can develop our solutions without it being reliant on specific ERP engines. So it's sitting on our cloud. It can sit on any cloud, whether that's Azure or AWS, but we sit it on our cloud. And then we provide those solution sets sitting in that cloud native environment. And this is where we're really going with the products for the future, without it being dependent on specific engines. We then have a really strong data integration solution that we use to integrate those solutions into any of the platforms we provide. Like I said before, we provide several ERP systems, SysPro, Dynamics, Sage. And then all of that can sit on our infrastructure, so we can make sure we manage the entire estate for our customers. But the Imagine piece is really where we're focusing our growth motion. I'm just going to go a bit deeper into that to try and explain what that means for us. So Imagine is this cloud-native solution. We have done integrations using DataSwitch to all these different products. So whether that's Sage, Micros, Dynamics, SysPro. And that means that we can basically take the underlying data from our customers, whether that's supply chain data, accounting data, pricing, etc., into the Imagine platform. And then we can provide them with all sorts of solutions on top without really affecting the underlying systems. In the past, one of the things has been when we have been selling our own IP, we have to fundamentally sell the full solution stacks, a new ERP solution with our IP. Now we can say, okay, we can leave that in play and we can just offer additional functionality on top. So for example, we have the mobile point of sale, so you can have your customer services functionality on a mobile without necessarily affecting any of the backend. We have now gone into kiosks, offering fundamentally self-service or self-checkout functionality sitting on top of or sitting on the Imagine in the cloud platform, but talking to the backend for pricing and other information. And this then, now that we've developed the kiosk and the way this has been developed, it's not both ERP agnostic, but also device agnostic. So a kiosk can then move on to a phone or any device, and that takes us into a completely new space with whole self-service. So basically being able to provide retail functionality to the consumer on their own device. This platform basically opens up a completely new sector for us. And then, because we have a fantastic customer base, 3,700 customers, we are also using this to do bespoke applications for them. We've done an application for IKEA, for mobile goods flow. This is in the warehouse for picking and packing. And because it's so easy to do that on the outside without having to mess about with the core systems, we've been able to really do this quickly for them and get that out to market. And as an example, Making Tax Digital in the UK, instead of us doing developments for all of the platforms and all of the different versions, we've done it once and then used DataSwitch to integrate into the backend. This provides new sectors for us, like the self-service. It provides us with an upgrade path for our existing point-of-sale customers. It provides us with modern, future-proofed solutions for our existing customers and enables us to do things once rather than having to do things many times like we had before. And the way this is developed, it's developed using modern technology, and that means we can access all those things that are coming online in the modern world, whether that's bots or AI or Internet of Things, and we can integrate those new services in that platform to enable them to deploy that for our customers. So, customer base, new technology that can actually bring those customers forward without them having to do a major investment in the infrastructure. So in terms of operational highlights, for last year, we really had a good year with K3 Fashion, which is our enterprise fashion solution. We had 11 deals in the year, and those are large enterprise sales through our partners, primarily. Global accounts, the IKEA ecosystem, we've grown that, more than doubled the team in the last couple of years, and are seeing some new opportunities come through those relationships, both also for selling our own IP into the base. SysPro is a really strong business that is generating good cash flows and has a really good retention of customers. We are exclusive in SysPro in the U.K., and this is an ERP engine. We merged the Dynamics businesses. We had four different Dynamics businesses, merged that into one, and launched the Imagine platform, so which is a key and cornerstone in our IP strategy. Like I said, we've streamlined the business and reduced the number of employees, and that's come down from over 800 to just around 700. And also what we've done with the growth in Europe, global accounts, and the IP, we've increased the non-U.K. revenue to 44% in last year, up from 33% the year before. So several good indicators there, and fundamentally, a solid business with good customer base and now a good platform for taking them forward. And now I'm gonna hand over to Rob to talk about financials.
Okay, thank you. So we'll have a quick look at the five-year view of the company, and then we'll go through the FY 2018 numbers, which was the 12-month period to November 2018. So first of all, when Adelstein and I joined the business was generating high amounts of EBITDA, but actually was just draining a lot of cash. So this was FY 2016, so EBITDA 12.8, but actually was just hemorrhaging cash. So coming out of cap dev, large working capital outflows, and what was really going on was there was a lot of profit creation through capitalization of customer bespoking, and not really good control on working capital. So during FY 2017, this is a 17-month period, we very much focused on restructuring, so the profits went down. And our latest results, FY 2018, we generated 4.6 of EBITDA and 8.1, well, 8.1 of EBITDA and adjusted operating profit 4.6, and actually really good solid free cash flows of 4.3. And we did this through much better focus on working capital. We did put some exceptionals through, so we funded all that. We've reduced the debt levels, and our controls over our capital expenditure is a lot tighter. Looking at FY 2018, FY 2020, these are actually the FinCap forecasts, but I think the progressive note is very similar to those going forward. And again, we're looking at growing our profits, but actually also generating free cash flows. In terms of the actual results for FY 2018, this is a 17-month period for FY 2017. So we were really pleased with this. The results of all the hard effort was coming through, so we were seeing actually we were back to adjusted operating profit, so a huge swing. We saw gross margin, also expansion, and net debt, which the business had always historically carried a lot of debt, just down to 0.6, and we expect to be actually debt-free by the time we get to the end of November this year. As Adelstein said, one of the key things we've been focusing on is our own IP, because that will increase not only kind of the higher quality of recurring revenues, and the gross margin percentages. So we've been really driving the percentage of revenue of our own IP, and obviously, that's an even bigger effect on gross profit. So for FY 2018, we had just shy of 30% of the entire gross profit was from our own IP, and that's a trend we will look to continue. But also the underlying results, even though this was a 17-month period, you can see we actually substantially increased the profits being generated from our two divisions of own IP and the supply chain and managed solutions. When we look back to Adelstein's deck in terms of our sales markets, this is the channel business and the K3 Europe, and this is supply chain and global accounts. That's broadly how they map to that. In terms of the decomp of those two divisions, so we're seeing gross margin expansion. Because of the 17-month period, I think the key numbers here are look at the actual underlying profit and the gross margins. So we've seen gross margin expansion in both the own IP And the supply chain one has actually flat to down, but that was more driven by this 17-month period had a double bite of a recurring revenue that we got two bites of the cherry in that 17-month period, which brought that down. But, you know, good improvement on services gross margins. Our hardware was up. And actually on IP, which is where we're focused, you know, all our gross margin percentages moved up. So again, we were really pleased with that. In terms of the cash flow, so there's been a particular focus on cash flow over the past couple of years. And if I go through each of those in some detail on how we've worked on that. So working capital movements. Well, actually, I guess the first thing we've done is the sales guys now have a far more rigorous, what we call sales assurance process. So they can only sell what we can deliver. There is a simplified sales assurance model, which anything over 100K comes to me. So I look at cash flow, profitability, the credit control, whether the service guys have said, yes, we can deliver this or not. Salesmen now only get paid commission when the customer pays. So kind of they're committed at the front, they're committed at the end. So the whole process is a lot tighter. We've centralized our systems internally. So we've got much better reporting on things like credit control and accrual management and automated timesheet postings. So say we actually reduced we merged the Dynamics businesses in that year. So we generated some exceptional costs. Development costs. The development cost, the way we manage that end to end, again, is just a lot tighter and is far more focused on IP that's going to create long-term value for us. So historically, the IP was about 50-50 blend of customer bespoking and actually genuine our own IP that we could sell standalone. That's now moved radically over, so it's about 85-90% is actually K3 Fashion, Pebblestone, and Imagine itself, which is a new platform, is now 50% of our own IP cap dev. And the product managers, they have now responsibility for not only the development, but actually their P&Ls. At the beginning of the year, they come and they bid for cash, and everyone sits around the table, and it creates some competitive tension, and we get much better decision making and much better usage of the cash resources. So interest down, well, so a lot less debt that we have, and the depreciation and the fixed assets. So overall, really happy with the debt position. I say we'll be just entering a new era for K3, which has been a low debt environment. And actually of that, 600 grand of that was the divvy that came out. So our thesis, investment thesis for K3 is actually 80% of our gross profit is what we're calling low risk. So that's either contracted recurring revenues. It's either long-term committed services such as IKEA and the account management of sales into our 3,700 customers. So we consider that to be low risk. Of that, 48% of the annual revenue is recurring. And then we're going to put our own IP on that. So we have this scalable platform, and then we put all the interesting, sexy, imagined stuff, which should have far higher multiples and better gross margins on top of that, which is far more scalable. So, and our financial summary of all this is from the revenue profile. Actually, we expect the profile to be flatter because we're going to be shifting more to kind of SaaS and subscription models, so consumption deliveries as opposed to on-prem. That is market-driven, but it's also driven internally as we move to our small sales of our own Imagine platform, which are only on subscription. So we're expanding the Imagine sales force. We're planning to recruit 15 people across Europe to start selling the Imagine platform, initially starting with Germany. So those guys have landed and started selling. Much better margins from channel sales and our own IP. And better services utilization. So we're far more in control of our services utilization now. We'll continue to have good focus on working capital and the CapDev and CapEx. And we reckon CapDev's now budgeted for around 3 million each year. And currently, say 50% of that is actually on Imagine. So it's going in the future stuff, future important stuff. We're moving to this delevered environment. And then we'll be proposing a progressive divvy at the AGM, which is next Wednesday. So that's all from the financial summary.
Yeah, so in terms of the outlook, just to summarise what we've been saying, this is a transition. We're transforming the business from being fundamentally a reseller and services business to an IP-led product company. And that's a journey, but we feel that we are well on the way, and both with the unification and now with the product platform that we have, that we can sell both into our existing base and into new customers. So really that Imagine journey is the core to where we're going. And it's to have that customer base to build on is fantastic, because that's where we get the insights and the experience that feeds our product development. And the way it's being developed is scalable, it's future-proof, and it's modern. And that will be able to leverage all of the new things that are coming out in microservices and new technologies. As Rob said, 80% low risk, that is a really good base also to have. The current account base, current customer base is generating a lot of solid revenue for us. Channel partner sales is a key focus for us, increasing that the ability for our partners to sell our solutions, because that's so much more scalable than having to ramp up on services for all of those activities. Continuing just to improve the business, making it more efficient, getting everybody working in the same way. We've already implemented the same platforms, like we talked about, same CRM system, and everybody's now working on the same in the same way. Healthy new business pipeline across the business, including some large deals on the K3 Fashion side through our partners. And the sort of H2 weighting is quite strong, given some of those recurring revenues that we have in the second half. So we feel we're on a good track with the business. It's been a challenge, but it's really starting to come through now in the results.
It all seems extremely logical what you're doing. Can you say a little bit more about the position that you found yourself that required this transition to need to be taking place?
Yeah, K3 has grown through acquisitions, over 20 different acquisitions over many years, and there had been very little integration. The businesses had their own infrastructure, their own culture, their own strategy to a large extent, and just to drive that unification needed some real change in strategy. And one of the things that we're doing with Imagine is that now we have something that all of these units can relate to, because it's ERP agnostic, it's device agnostic. Then we have something that provides a future for all of the different paths that we've been working on. But it just required that complete shift to get those efficiencies through.
And I saw in your new integrated cloud platform, you don't mention data analytics. I would have thought that would be quite a strong sales point for you. Is that something that you're doing, but not on the slide, or is that something on the future, or where does that sit?
Yeah, so we've started with the core. So we've done the core platform, which is basically where we can then develop our applications on. And we started with the retail suite, where we had the biggest requirement in the short term. And we just needed to get that, because we have, given all these acquisitions, we have different, we have 14 different point of sale systems that we're supporting today. And we needed the platform to get them onto that sort of onto the future. So now we have an upgrade path for our customers, but then we are building out other solutions on top, which will include data analytics, well, BI and integration into AI and other services. But we just needed to get that base properly done first.
Just one very simple little one. Can you just confirm that you have no relationship with K3 Capital?
Yeah, we have no relationship with them.
Could you talk a little bit about the competitive landscape, whether you come up against the same companies all the time, whether it's fragmented?
Yeah, it is very different in based on what we're talking about. In the enterprise space, we tend to come up against the same ones. But when you move further into the sort of SMB, small to medium-sized businesses, it's really fragmented. And in the retail space, it's very fragmented. And as you can see, like I mentioned, 14 different point of sale systems that we have internally. There are loads of them out there, and a lot of them are legacy. So there is actually an opportunity in that to migrate further legacy bases onto that new platform. But you cannot say it's one landscape, because it's quite different from both the industry. In the manufacturing side, we see different competitors than in the retail side, and then the retail side splits into the enterprise and the SMB. But we see a real opportunity in that fragmented market in the SMB side.
Just focusing on sort of transitioning from being services to product based.
Yes.
Are you still going to keep the value added reselling, you know, being a value added reseller? Are you going to keep that as a part of the business?
Yes, as
still a significant part of the business for the time being.
For the time being, but it will shift. Yeah. And so like Rob mentioned, we are now at 30% of gross margin on own IP. That will shift further. But it's a really good ability to have, because that's what generates the new IP, is those customer relationships.
Yes.
Because what we're doing is we're taking the Imagine platform into those customers, we talk to them about what they need, and productizing that and then taking it out to the broader market.
Yes, so and you've got some traction with the products that you've introduced through the Imagine platform?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we've got some of them are just live as a standalone product, as the retail suite. Yeah. And then we've also taken, like I mentioned, into our customers to do specific solutions for them, which we can, it's still our own IP, so we can still decide to productize that later and take it to mass market. But we can start small with just saying, okay, we just do that specifically for that customer in the beginning.
Yes, and what about sort of, you know, going forward, you know, products are rather different from services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constant sort of reinvestment and defending off competition. Because if you look at Sage, for example, yeah. I mean, Xero and QuickBooks have really had a big impact on them in recent years.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a different game. So how confident do you feel, and what have you got in place in terms of business process systems to sort of keep that innovation going?
Yeah. So, I mean, the business model in Europe is very much that sort of cloud business model. And even though the product has is 10 years old, and now we bring Imagine into it as a modern product, the business model is the same. It's very much retail in a box. What you see is what you get, and you keep it current. Everybody's using the same version. There isn't that sort of bespoking going on. And that's exactly the business model we're moving more and more into. And the other products are moving. The Xero is coming in exactly that sort of way.
Yeah.
So we see the Imagine platform can actually be a good extension to the likes of Xero, because they will not do the retail piece. We can provide that sort of intelligent layer around the core ERP functions.
Yeah.
And we will not turn Imagine into an ERP system, because there are plenty of those.
Yeah.
We just need to do those sort of industry specifics around the edge.
Yeah. Just a quick one from me. Sort of leading on from that, but more in the enterprise space, you talked about the partner-led selling being a big opportunity. And you mentioned a few names, Microsoft, SAP, Avanade. Could you maybe describe, because presumably K3 is just a small fashion-specific part of a much bigger project.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about what that project might look like, some of the players that would typically be involved, and where you would be brought in, you know, during the process?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I mean, a good example is Columbia Sport in the US, where it's very much a Microsoft-led engagement, given the size of the opportunity. But Microsoft provides that core ERP functionality, but do not have that fashion-specific element. So when you look at the functionality we provide, it's just much more detailed into that micro sector. So their ability to sell the ERP solution into that customer isn't really there unless they have our IP alongside. And that's so we keep on developing that IP and making sure that is quite exactly what that industry needs. But Microsoft is much more broader in terms of what they can offer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
P PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.